In the 9th chapter of his prophecies, Jeremiah received a remarkable word. Death, he said, is come up into our windows and has entered into our palaces. Do we hear it, congregation? When death comes and enters, it is not only into a little cottage, but it is also in the palaces of kings and of princes. Jeremiah continued and said, children are cut off from without, and young men from the streets. Thus, all men must die, not only the old, but even children, little ones, young people. In the strength of our life, there shall come a moment that we must die. How true is Jeremiah's message? For death comes irresistibly at God's time. Death comes and enters into the windows. Do we know, congregation, that sometimes death knocks at the window first? That is still the warning of the Lord, the kindness of the Lord. Set thine house in order, for we all shall die. Oh, then when that death comes, there is none who can stay his hand. Young and old, our life is serious. And our death is serious. And eternity has no end. Time, like an ever-rolling stream, bears all its sons away. Our life is like a handbreadth and no more. It is a vapor that appeareth for a little while, and then it vanisheth away. Lo, as for man, his days are like a shadow. And where is it then? Congregation, it is a cloud that comes and disappears. How true is that word of Jeremiah? Death shall enter into our windows. But how soon shall death then enter into your or my window? And moreover, that is not only at the appointed time, but are we prepared when death shall take us away and we must come to stand before the Lord? Will we be able to meet him in righteousness and in peace? Has it now ever become your question, Lord, why must we die? Has it become your question, moreover, Lord, how? How only can I die and meet the Lord? Congregation, death has knocked, also in the congregation, and at one time shall enter into our windows. That is a warning for the unconverted. An instruction yet to seek the Lord while it is time. But is there now also a people for whom such a knock is the foreboding of eternal deliverance? Oh, then the Lord has given for this morning a serious message. But it is not only a message, congregation, to show us that we must die and why we must die. But the Lord also gives there in the gospel tiding, there is comfort, there is grace for the greatest and most rebellious sinners. We can find the words of our text in the chapter that we read together, verse 38 of Leviticus 16, verse 48 of Leviticus 16. And he stood between the dead and the living, and the plague was stayed thus far. Aaron standing between the dead and the living. Aaron standing between the dead and the living. Three thoughts. He is standing there in history. He is standing there with fulfillment. And he is standing there for application. So in history, with fulfillment and for application. The chapter from which the text is taken is a long one, 50 verses. The sins described in this chapter are dreadful. The judgments are awful, but the grace is so unfathomable. The children of Korah rebelled against Moses and against Aaron, together with Dathan and Abiram. Moreover, there were 200 princes of the children of Israel, men who were renowned and who were famous, leaders in the congregation of that people of Israel. And they also come. And what do they say? Ye take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Wherefore then lift ye up yourselves above the congregation of the Lord? So they spoke in rebellion against Moses and against Aaron, as if they had taken their office upon themselves. They even claim that they have lifted up themselves above the people of Israel. At bottom, Korah, who was a Levite from the sons of Kohath, one who would bear the ark of God, and no doubt he has done that, because Israel in the wilderness moved from time to time, wanted to be high priest instead of Aaron. Korah and Dathan come from Reuben, the oldest son, and they thought not Moses should lead the people, but that belonged even unto them. But then after warning, and after pleading by Moses, the Lord was going to proceed with judgment, and he did. And we leave that history, of course, but we heard it already, that the earth opened up and swallowed Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, and all that pertained unto them, and they went alive into the pit. That means they were alive and they sunk into that awful place of hell. That was so terrible. There are hardly words that we can use to describe that congregation. But then, upon the Lord's command, Moses said that Eleazar, the son of Aaron, had to take the censers of these 250 princes that had to be taken by Eleazar and made into broad plates of brass and fastened to the brazen altar of incense, the brazen altar of offering. And then the children of Israel, whenever they would come in the tabernacle and a reminder that the service of the Lord is holy, and only those whom the Lord has appointed must serve at that tabernacle. And that was a continual and solemn warning. But then we come to the history, especially that lies before us this morning. For what do we read on the morrow? But, it says. But on the morrow, all the congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And what do they say? Ye have killed the people of the Lord. If we pause for a moment, then would we not say, how is it possible? Calvin says that this is more than monstrous. The site where the earth had opened up was still visible. The smoke and the smell were still fresh. Perhaps that fire was still smoldering that the Lord had sent down to consume these 250 princes in an awful judgment. And the shrieks of horror were not forgotten, were they? They must have sounded in their ears, and the people fled away. And those plates were still visible in the tabernacle of God. And nevertheless, all the children of the congregation, all the congregation of the children of Israel murmured. Not a few, but all of them. And then they dare to level the accusation against the servants of the Lord that they have murdered Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. That they are the authors of that awful destruction. And then the people of the Lord, who are they called? And they were rebellious. And they are the ones that are covered up and are presented as the ones that did everything right. But earlier in the chapter, you read that Moses and Aaron have prayed for that rebellious, guilty people. There had been great and deep impressions, but it was like a morning cloud, like a dew, and it all disappeared. And on the morrow, then they come and murmur. That was a willful, deliberate provoking of the Lord to anger. God's servants are blamed for this awful judgment, and they do not see, they do not want to acknowledge their own sins. Would not words fail to describe such blindness and such rebellion, such awful wickedness? Or do we meet that same wickedness in our own heart congregation? Has the Lord never shone with discovering light in our soul and shown unto us that what the children of Israel have done is what we have committed in Adam and what we still do every day? Ah, congregation, it was what was now missing in these children of Israel that came in murmuring and rebelling against Moses: renewal of heart. For that always brings along godly sorrow and a sincere repentance, a turning unto the Lord. But how is that in your life? And how is that now in my life? Well, we need to deal with the history, yes. But it is a question that we must take home and search in our soul. But do we speak in favor of sinners? Do we cover up iniquity? Do we forget the cause of the poor and of the needy? Is there in us a hardening of our heart, even with religion? Or even worse, we can have deep impressions. We can shed many tears. We can lie upon our deathbed. We can have that knock of death on the windows of our heart. And then we can be greatly troubled. Then the fears can beset us. But that all leaves us exactly the same as we are. We have no renewal of our heart unless the Lord comes along with it and comes and converts us unto Him. Because true conversion, we say it again, that brings forth that godly sorrow and that worketh a repentance not to be repented of. Oh, you say, but did not the congregation of Israel do evil? Oh, yes. But so do we. Without saving grace, congregation, then we do not know our state of misery. We do not realize that we must appear before God and that we are altogether condemnable before Him. Or we can sit in church, and that is good. Outwardly, we can know the truth and even try to defend the truth. But how is it in our heart, congregation? I cannot uncover you. That is only the Spirit of the Lord. But oh, when He shines within, then it is a loathsome, foul pit of iniquity. Then we are nothing but rebellious and we have enmity. You say, but I have tears and I sometimes have impressions. It may be hopeful. Do not despise it, but remember that Esau sought the place of repentance with many tears and never found it. Or we can say, I have sinned like Saul and like Judas, but that is too short for eternity. It came to pass when the congregation was gathered against Moses and against Aaron that they looked toward the tabernacle of the congregation. Why were their eyes turned to the sanctuary? What was the reason? The people came against, with their raging against Moses and Aaron, and the Lord alone could help. And so they looked unto Him, and they were lightened. That is what David sang in Psalm 34. Then they were not ashamed, and Moses and Aaron experienced it here. There is a people that are not strange to this. Because sometimes they receive a prayer in their words. Sometimes it is but a cry, Lord help. Sometimes it is but a groan which they cannot even utter themselves. And sometimes it is less than that. Then there is but a look. And no more than a look, but then you shall not be ashamed. Then the Lord shall answer. And then when they looked toward that tabernacle, the cloud covered it and the glory of the Lord appeared. That cloud, that Shekinah resting upon the Ark of the Covenant, placed in the most holy place, was the presence of the Lord. And what does the Lord now say? Touch not mine anointed. Do my prophets no harm. That is now that wondrous protection of the Lord. Moses and Aaron came before the tabernacle of the congregation. And who can stand before God and live? No one. Except that the Lord brings us in His presence. Oh, the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous runneth into it and is safe. And so the Lord hides his servants under the shadow of his wings. Oh, what a blessed portion that is. What a privilege. Is it yours? Is it mine? The Lord was coming for judgment. We read it, that he spake unto Moses, get you up from among this congregation, that I may consume them as in a moment. That was the same thing as he had said earlier in this chapter. And at that time, the Lord still spared. And why was that? Oh, that was because there was an intercession. And now we do not read that anymore. No. That time of grace was coming swiftly to an end. And now the Lord is going to proceed with his judgment that is just and righteous. And then who shall stand in the day of God's anger? But his people he will safely keep. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, get you up from among this congregation, that I may consume them as in a moment. However, we read, they fell upon their faces. Why did Moses and Aaron now fall upon their face? Oh, it was their desire, as in former times, to pray unto the Lord for that guilty, rebellious nation who accused their leaders and had no respect for them. But that the Lord would still be gracious and lengthen the time of grace for them. They would grieve. They had sorrow. They would weep. And now we only read, they fell upon their faces. So what happened? There was no prayer given to Aaron and unto Moses. No petitions could come forth from their hearts. They had nothing to plead upon. There were so many sins provoking the Lord to righteous anger. All their arguments in former times had been exhausted. It was like Aaron when he prayed for Sodom. There came a time that he could no longer pray. Oh, that is a solemn thing. If your prayers are cut off, and that is now what happened here with Moses. When Moses came down from Mount Horeb, and the people had built that golden calf and were dancing around it, Moses still prayed. When they had come to Kadesh for the first time, then Moses had still prayed. The day before, Moses and Aaron had still prayed, and now, no more prayer. Oh, congregation, what an awful thing that was. Because the Lord is now going to proceed with that judgment. And what do we read, congregation? And Moses said unto Aaron, take a censer and put fire therein. Because then the judgment of the Lord was already coming, and that was a plague. And who could now stop it? The Lord went forward with his righteous judgment. He is not mocked. His long suffering comes to an end also for us, sooner or later. And what is then left, congregation? What only remains, Moses beholds it, his brother Aaron is the ordained high priest of God. And then in verse 46, we read what Moses commands unto Aaron. He does not say, go and take a bullock and sacrifice him for an offering unto the Lord. No. There was no time for this, because that plague of the Lord had begun. And the people of the Lord, the Israelites, we should say, they were beginning to die. And so Moses says unto Aaron, go unto that altar and take the coals of fire and put them in a censer, and then sprinkle that incense upon it, and then go with that incense in the midst of those murderers, in the midst of those sinners, in the midst of all those rebels. Because God's wrath had begun to be poured out upon that guilty people. And who shall stand in the day of God's anger? Oh, Moses said to Aaron, you must go. In Leviticus 16, we read that on the great day of atonement, Aaron had to take that incense into the most holy place. And now he must take that incense in the midst of the congregation of Israel. But could the incense of Aaron now expiate, atone for the sins of those people? Is the Lord now going to be satisfied with some frankincense? Is it Aaron who would make that actual atonement? No, that is impossible. But Aaron is a type. Aaron points forward. Aaron shows the way unto the only high priest of the new and better covenant, the Lord Jesus Christ. So for the people, even as the judgment was there, and the plague was beginning, the way was pointed out of true deliverance. Loathe yourself for your sins, and confess your iniquity before God. There is but one remedy, and that is in Jesus Christ and in him crucified. Oh, and then we read, and Aaron took as Moses commanded and ran into the midst of the congregation. He was standing there, and the children of Israel had died. And other ones were dying, they were falling, and he was in the midst of them. But he was already more than 80 years old, yes. And he had the dignity of that high priestly office, yes. And he had been falsely accused of murder against the children of Israel. And yet, Aaron ran into the midst of that congregation. Why? Obedience to God's command. Why? That is from the love of his heart unto that people of Israel. And he ran with that sweet smelling savor that would ascend up unto the Lord and be pleasing in his sight. And he stood between the dead and the living, and the plague was stayed. Not Aaron's offering, but the Lord himself restrained. He stopped. He stayed that plague. Oh, we need to go to that second thought, but you feel it already, congregation. What is now necessary? Not Aaron the type, but there is such instruction for us in. There is fulfillment, and that has come also because the sins of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram were awful. And that dreadful sin called forth the judgment. And now the Lord has also given that Aaron could stand between the dead and the living and then make atonement for the people, and that the plague was stayed. But thinking of those wicked sinners, are we now any different? Is it now any better in your and in my life? Have we not all sinned in Adam? And we have sinned against a good-doing God. We have sinned against better knowledge. We have sinned even while the Lord comes with his word and testimony unto us. But the plague has begun as soon as Adam has sinned. And now there is death that has come into the world, and death will come into our windows, yours and mine, sooner or later, O dear congregation. You understand a little why this message had to come today. What did God now do in the fullness of time? Then he began to carry out, he began to fulfill what had been decreed in that stillness of eternity, when that council of peace was held between the triune God, that the Father would send forth his Son into the world because he loved that people so much, that his honor would be maintained, and that that people chosen and beloved by him would truly be saved. And so, from his good pleasure, he sent forth his Son. And he came into this world to whom? Rebels, murmurers, false accusers, congregation. Oh, how obedient was Christ. How willing he was, you hear it in Psalm 40. Lo, I come, I delight to do thy will. O my God, thy law is written in my heart. Oh, he willingly undertook that commandment of his Father. And then he is the one that ran in the way of the Lord's commandments. You read when he tells the disciples that they must go to Jerusalem to suffer and to die, that he went before them. He said, I have a baptism that I must be baptized with. How am I straitened until it be accomplished? He set his face like a flint to go to Jerusalem, and he went steadfastly in that way. And why? That was now from the love unto his Holy Father, to magnify his attributes. It was also from the love that he had unto those rebels, those miserable sinners. Oh, and then, even as Aaron, what happened? He was despised and he was rejected. He was a man that was cast out of the synagogue. He was not desired in the temple, and he had to be cast out of Jerusalem. Oh, false witnesses rose up against him before that high priest Caiaphas. And when he stood there before Pontius Pilate, what did the people say? Let Barabbas go free and crucify Christ. Because they chose a murderer rather than the Prince of Life. Just like the people of Israel, Korah, Dathan, Abiram, yes. Those are the ones that they favored. And how is it now with us? With you and with me. But now Jesus finished all his work. He loved his people even unto the end. Can we now fathom that love of that greater Aaron that he came into this world? Oh, what did Aaron have to take along? A golden censer with the coals from that altar, and then the incense which would arise unto the Lord. A mystery of salvation lies declared in this. For did Christ not become the high priest of the new and the better covenant, to make an atonement and to pay the price for all his people? Oh, was he not the very Son of God and the Son of Man? Did he not shed his blood as a ransom for many to make atonement for all his people? Oh, this Aaron, this greater Aaron, did so all for these guilty murderers, yes. Because when Christ came into the world, oh, was he then not lying there in a manger as Aaron stood between the living and the dead and the living? The people in Bethlehem dead, and there were a few shepherds and Joseph and Mary. Was that not true also? When he was brought into the temple and presented unto the Lord, oh, then in the arms of Mary. And later in the arms of Simeon, he was there between the dead and the living. For there was a Joseph, and there was a Mary, and there was a Simeon, and there was an Anna, and the rest dead people in the temple, and no more. Oh, when he was 12 years old, he came into the temple, and then he sat among the doctors, and he was asking, and he was teaching. Oh, and then there was a Joseph and a Mary, and they came him seeking, and Christ was sitting there among the dead and among the living. Oh, when he was preaching in the temple so many times, a few of his disciples and no more, a few women from Galilee that followed him in truth. And there was a Mary and a Martha, and there was a Lazarus, and the multitude was listening also, the dead among the living, among the dead and among the living. Oh, and the multitude said, this is a hard saying, and began to leave him. Then Christ remained behind with the dead and the living, because not only the 11 disciples remained, but also Judas, that hypocrite, still stayed. Oh, Christ stood there among the living, among the dead, and among the living. Go then to that edge of the Garden of Gethsemane, and did he not stand there? If ye dare forsake me, let these go their way. And there came Judas and that armed company, the dead, and then the living ones, his own disciples. Oh, they were offended at him, and they fled. And then he stands there before Caiaphas. You say, that is all dead people. Oh, yes. But there were a few, because Nicodemus, and Joseph of Arimathea did not give their consent. And there was a Simon Peter. And while he was living, he was denying his master. But that master continued. He stood there, making atonement for all his people. He stood there between the dead and between the living. So it was for Pontius Pilate, so it was when he went through the streets of Jerusalem carrying that cross. Because he was carrying that cross among the dead and among the living. Oh, a multitude that harried him, a multitude that mocked him, that desired him on the cross. They were pitying women of Jerusalem, but also without true living concern. And there was a Simon of Cyrene, and he had to be compelled. How true that was last week, was it not? And that is still so. And then he stands there, then he hangs there upon the cross. Truly the text is fulfilled, because then he was crucified. And first between two dead men. And then one of those murderers was converted and received life. And then he was crucified between the dead and between the living. Oh, congregation, is it not a wonder how the text then is fulfilled? That he stood between the dead and the living. And it is by that mediatorial labor that now the Church of God has received to experience that the plague is stayed even for them. Oh, it is for those murderers. It is for those people that the plague is stayed, who do not deserve a place in this world and a place in heaven, but a place in hell. But he went down and descended into hell. Oh, and there he was entirely among the dead. But as the Prince of Life, he also rose once again. And then what did he do? You say, but then he appeared only to his people, only to the living. Yes. He ascended into glory with his Father, with his Holy Spirit. with the blessed angels and the church already brought home from the Old Testament time. Then he was in the company only of the living. Yes. Oh, congregation, then it is not yet finished today. There is yet another thought to come, that application, and that we hope to continue yet, because then Christ is also still today ministering and standing among the dead and among the living. But first we sing of him 109.